Well, we're going to kind of have our last formal session for the evening, and tomorrow morning is pretty brief, but we've got some work still to do tonight. We want to listen to the Holy Spirit, be sensitive to what God's doing, of course, and see where He's leading. And so there's still some work to do. This is not as much kind of a formal kind of session. This is going to be a little bit more, God, what's on your heart? And we're going to seek the Lord some of this. And the person who's going to lead up this session is the last of our campus staff. You haven't heard from yet. Awesome man of God that you just told to be quiet. Would you please welcome C.J. Carrier.
You've given to us to be with you. God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for
your presence in our life, God. Thank you for saving us. We can never thank you enough. When we come before you and let you know who you are, God, we just really are left undone when we start to see and we start to tune into the reality of where we would be without you. Now, too often times, I think that we do not take the time to do that. Lord, we are blown away by you stepping into our lives and saying, no more. We're blown away, God. Holy Spirit, we give you the liberty to do whatever you want to do in this place. God, we invite you to have your way right here, right now with us. We got no agenda. We just want to be with you. We want to see you clearly. Lord, where the enemy would try to pull at things in our lives, we just shut them down in Jesus' name. We say this place, this framework, which you're building, oh God, you're building this house. We say, Lord, you do whatever you need to do in this house. Father, we pray your anointing over the words. We pray more than anything that you would show up and that all the glory would go to you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we're at a leadership retreat, right?
Right.
Not a wussy retreat. Amen?
Amen.
I don't see no wussies in the house. That's good. I see a lot of leaders, though. God's been getting some deep stuff in each one of us, right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. You know, all the things that we've been through, even to, you know, through the sessions, as you guys have talked those things through and even looking into your eyes tonight, it's really amazing to be able to start to see the work that God is allowing, you're allowing God to do in your lives. It's really amazing. Can you see your eyes? That's right. The countenance man right there. That's why you want to always engage with those eyes. Those are the windows to the soul. And you got a good one. Say amen.
Amen.
Why do you have a good one?
God in it.
That's right. One of the guests tonight, I'll talk on this. It's a huge passion to me. You can take notes. It'll be a little scattered. Unfortunately, that's the way that I work when it comes to this topic. And so bear with me, but bring it on. One of my most greatest heroes in the faith when it comes to this topic is someone guess. Actually, I don't mind if those are off. What do you guys want to do? That's cool. All right, one of my heroes in the faith when it comes to this topic. Who do you think it is?
Jesus.
Who said that? It is. What is prayer?
Conversation with God.
All right. You know, we got this whole idea of prayer early on in the very beginning. It was with our first idea of relationship with God started where? Where did it all start?
Adam.
Let's start with Adam. I mean, Eve's a... I know you're the Eve part. I don't even want to go there, but let's stick with Adam just for the sake of...
Let's just say.
You better start with Adam.
We all know the story. The fall happened, and then what did Adam do right after the fall hit? Sin hit. What did he do?
He hid.
Then what did God do? He called. And then what did Adam do? Huh?
But Adam, where are you?
And then what happened?
He hid.
And then he did respond, right? The reality of what prayer is this. It's very simply this. Prayer is simply cultivating the presence of God. It's responding to a call that He has already put towards us. Prayer is just response. God is already speaking to us some phenomenal things. Prayer is just simply cultivating the presence of the Lord. You know, we look at many aspects on this where Jesus set the greatest example of this. It was an overflow of His life. You know, we've all gone through, hopefully most of us have gone through that thing called pre-prayer this last week. And what happened there is that the Lord's Prayer, that was set from Jesus as a pattern, as a model. But that was just an overflow. It was already happening in His life. He just put to words something that really we was just flowing out of Him all the time. The way that He opened up His mouth, it was kind of in that progression. Not in vain repetition, but it was in that progression that it just overflowed from Jesus. When He communicated with His Father, it was right down the lines of the Lord's Prayer. When we are in our private times of prayer, Jesus has said this better than anybody. We know that Jesus often went to be with His Father, right? He got away. Why did He get away?
Just like we're... The Holy Spirit
could come. Yeah, so you bet. So the Holy Spirit could come. What's the reason for that in our lives? To get filled, to get tuned in. Tuned in like you tune in a dial on a radio. What you're trying to do, you're trying to get to a frequency. God has a frequency. We want to tune into that. So when Jesus went away to be with the Father, what was He doing? He was tuning in. Why did Jesus need to tune in? He's God in the flesh. Did He need to tune in?
He's man in the flesh. He's probably man, so He needed to hear God's voice about what the world was all around and telling him.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus needed to tune in. Isn't that something? He needed to be with His Father. What happened when He was alone with His Father? Do you ever wonder what that time was like? Was it awesome? Was it 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? It's however long it needed to be for Jesus to communicate with His Father. There was no set time to it. There was no ritual to it. It was just simply this. I need to be with my Father. Why? Because this world is extremely draining. It'll suck the life right out of you. Jesus knew that very well. So when He was with His Father, what happened to Him? Something happened in His spirit when He got with His Father. It's like all of a sudden, He came alive. When you're dealing with people all the time who are messy, who are filled with different ideas of how things work, who are full of religiousness, you know, at all times, Jesus was constantly with His Father. When He was with His Father, something happened in those times to where when He came back to the people, there was no doubt a change, a bold change. The whole Sermon on the Mount was really, it's a revolutionary message. And Jesus, where in the world did He get these ideas? Where did He get them? From His Father.
Totally. I got 8 pages of notes, but I don't think I'm going to look at half of them. You guys are in trouble. Jesus saw correctly in a very incorrect society. Well, one of the things that we want to engage tonight is this idea of watch. We hear that word often in the Scriptures, watch, watch. And we want to spend some time really engaging this. I want to share just a little bit of it. Well, let me just share this. Jesus spent time with the Father. It's a truth. It stirred a truth in Him. And even to the point when Jesus was on the cross, when He was going through the crucifixion, that was an extremely crazy process, was it not? All the things that He endured. I'm not going to go through it. We all know the story. We all know what He went through. But how in the world did He stay engaged through that? How did He stay tuned in through the whole thing?
Why did he not just give up? He was with his father a lot. Something happened where he was so engaged with his father that through every beating, bam, every whipping, he stayed engaged the whole way through. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do when just a little bit of sin comes our way? Just a tiny one. We'll get into that just a little bit. Hold on. I want to give you a story about my life, about personally how God began to... This idea of being able to see, watch. Jenny and I, back in the day, we don't go that far back, but back in the day, I'm going to be vulnerable with you because I think it's important for me to communicate some of the raw things that are in my heart. So if you are not awake, wake up! So here we go, all right?
Are you awake, aren't you?
She is. Melania's going, oh, Jesus, yes, Lord.
I got a funny story about that. I'll share it later. No, I won't.
Jay and I were having a little bit of a argument right before care group, and it was really interesting, the progression of this. And I thank the Holy Spirit for His involvement in my life, because this is what happened.
Me and Jenny are, go ahead and come up here, Jaren, because you're a secure man, you can handle this, so So me and Jenny are in this argument, you know, and going back and forth, hey, you're gorgeous.
That's different.
Nate Trolley. What are you doing hanging out with Nate Trolley, Jenny? So we had just a little bit of this argument where I saw things, you know, my way, and she saw things her way. And lo and behold, that, you know, I thought I was right. And guess what? She thought she was right too. What happened is this, is I was really passionate about my side. She was really passionate about her side. So we're kind of going back and forth. And all of a sudden, our voices begin to raise. Just give me a little bit, like, ugh. I'm scared. You got it, baby. Sound like that. So, Jason, get up here. So we're gonna do some exorcism. No, seriously. So what happened is that, you know, we started going back and forth, and this you know, I started getting a little bit more strong in my words. She started getting strong in her words, and back and forth, and finally all of a sudden it just went, you know, we were yelling at each other, and I go fine, whatever, you know, just like that. We just cut out. Well, that was it. We didn't really resolve it. Next day, this is what happens. Profound picture. We have a little bit of an argument. And guess what happens? We go back to the exact same place in our tones that we ended up with the night before. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit spoke to me just like this. Bam! He goes, you know what? It's just going to be a matter of time before you have to start smacking your wife to get your point across.
Wow.
Or before she starts smacking you to get her point across. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, this needs to stop right now.
Yeah.
How did I see that? Here we're trying to do here. We're trying to look at decisions where if we can stop them right here, if we can look through where these things go, we stop them right now.
Right, yeah.
But to the point that we see the intensity behind where it's going, we will not stop right now. If we cannot see, we do not stop. Jesus stayed all the way through all of his torture. He stayed all the way through because he was able to see.
Wow.
What we want to get into tonight is, and I believe so strongly that thank you, Jenny, that what we want to do is, thanks, Jared, Jenny.
I believe God wants to train up a watching generation.
Yes.
We
yes.
can worship, can we not?
Amen. Yeah. How well do we watch?
Good.
How well do we see?
We have a whole generation with a voice that's screaming, don't tell me what to do. Let me do what I want to do. I know what's best for me. What do you say to that? How do you argue that? You know, I'm finding out that our society is breeding some pretty selfish individuals. Yeah, Jesus is my Lord. Yeah, Jesus is my Lord.
Don't mess with me on my relationships. Don't mess with me on what I want to do. Don't mess with my Facebook. Don't mess with me on that.
Yeah, Jesus is my Lord. I'm cool with that. I'm all right with that. Don't mess with my life. Don't mess with my friends. Don't mess with my secret place. Uh-uh. Jesus is my Lord. I'm cool with that. You know, sometimes we get so ticked off because we think man's putting a standard over our lives. Like, hey, you know what? You shouldn't do this. We go, who are you to put a standard over my life? But what happens oftentimes is that we don't take those standards that we think man is putting over our lives. We don't take them before God and say, God, is this a standard that you're putting over my life? And here's the reality. When we take it a little further, we say, God, is this a standard that you're putting over my life? That if we realize that that is a standard that he's putting over us, then when we shout down the man, we're shouting down God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's a serious, serious crime. One person I do not want to shout down is God.
Right.
I don't. Yeah. I don't. In the secret place, I don't. Don't be putting that on me. But when you take it a little further and you realize it's from the Lord, you better start listening to the man. Not because the man is awesome, but because God oftentimes speaks through the man. And he's checking your submission. He's checking your heart. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we typically get ticked off when a leader comes into our life and says, hey, what's the reason for going to the drink? Oh, don't mess with my alcohol. What's the reason? What's the motivation for having a drink? Oh, I'm good. I can handle it. Don't mess with me then. Right? Jesus is cool. I'm cool with Jesus. Don't mess with my drinking. Don't mess with my pornography. Don't mess with my sex life. Don't mess with that. That's my area. But Jesus is Lord, right? Man, I'm telling you what. This whole weekend's been about devotion.
Right.
Devotion to the gospel. You know what the opposite of devotion is? It's indifference. You know, it seems like we've got a lot of people living around who are pretty indifferent when it comes to life and standards. I want to read this verse to you. We're going to dig into it just a little bit. Matthew 24, verses 3. And we'll go to where we need to go, I guess. I'm going to read it off of this because I typed it out.
Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, the end of the age? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you. Everybody say deceive.
Deceive.
Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. How many?
Many.
Okay. Saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. How many know we've been seeing some crazy earthquakes in 2010? My gosh, I got on the internet today. I think there's a total of 8, and there's 5 in the news. I'm just going, that's crazy. We live in crazy times. And then it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Boy. Then they will deliver you up to tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be what?
Saved.
Man, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations that the end will come.
All right, I got a little bit of an issue on this, and that is that when we start looking into this verse, it says that many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now I know we look at that and we go, okay, you know, that's going to be some guy standing up there with this robe, you know, maybe in 2015, and he's going to
have this robe on. He's a neat little ministry. He's going to go, I'm the Christ. People are going to get up out of their seats and they're going to start following, right? And that's how we think this whole thing takes place. I think here's a reality in this.
When
we as a generation, we go astray and we start saying things like this to people. Hey, let's go over to the bar and do a 21 run for your birthday. How's that sound in Jesus' name? Let me ask you something. Whose Jesus is that?
Wow.
The thing is that the Bible talks about many are going to say it's in my name. Many are going to say that it's their Christ. I think it's a different Jesus. Because the Jesus that I understand, man, I'll tell you what, there's a high cost of following him. Is there not? He says, you know what? You're gonna forsake your life in the world, and they may hate you because of it. Not that you go spend all your time in the world to where you gain this great following and say, hey, look, follow me. This is awesome. I can do whatever I want to do in Jesus' name. And it's okay because no one can speak into my life. No problem. I can do porn in Jesus' name. Come follow me. Oh, man, I can do secret things. Man, come follow me.
And you know what happens? Take heed that no one what? Deceives you. That's a strong word.
Amen.
Yeah. Matthew 25:13. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Interesting. But who does know?
You bet. What's that?
The Father.
The Father knows. Another thing in Amos, I believe it says,
Micah? It says that God does not do anything without first revealing it to who?
Prophets.
Prophets. Who are the prophets? They were called the what?
Seers. Interesting, isn't it? Oh, God, let us be a watching generation.
Yes.
A watching generation. Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled.
Then he said, my soul is overwhelmed even to the point of death. Stay here and keep what?
Watch.
Man. Crazy. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them, what were they doing?
Sleeping.
Oh, come on. How many of you guys have fallen asleep when you're supposed to be watching?
Yeah.
I have. What's the next?
I got to find it in my verse. Where are you at, Stuff?
Could you men not keep watch for me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. What do we wrestle against, people? My gosh, are we not? Is this not just a flesh-breeding culture that we live in? Thomas, stay awake. I got you, man. I got you.
He's going, okay.
He went away a second time and said, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes our betrayer. You know, there's some powerful things going on here. It really is. It's phenomenal. Oh my gosh, Jesus in the flesh says, I mean, you look into his eyes and you're going, you see this incredible distraught. You follow him for 3 years and he goes, watch with me. Watch with me. Goes over here. The enemy is definitely working on this night, is he not? It's a powerful night. The enemy's working. Who's he working on? He's working on Jesus. He's also working on the disciples. And what does he get him to do? Gets him to choose the flesh. My gosh, how much more do we need to be watchers?
Yeah.
These guys saw Jesus face to face. They saw his emotion, his anxiety, his sorrow face to face, and they fell asleep on him.
How much more do we fall asleep? Some of us need to be woken up for the first time. I believe salvation does that. But some of us go back into this cold sleep, and we just go, cool.
Just kind of just going with the flow here. Oh, People going over there to party, I'll just go over there, no big deal. Oh, that relationship, I'll just go over here, no big deal. I mean, we just bounce around, don't we?
Come on, watchers. This is not our calling.
That's right.
Matthew 20. Before we read that, you know what? We need to be people of the truth. We don't need to be people going our own way.
The last time I read the Bible, it says Jesus is the what?
We don't need to be going our own way.
We need to be going His way.
Jesus.
Matthew 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, I really want to hone in here. Jesus is talking. He says, also from among yourselves. Now, I'm not calling out anybody in this room, but I am saying this. We all represent in a generation, do we not?
Yeah.
My gosh. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Basically what they're going to do, they're going to speak a word that's going to draw a following. How many times you guys been in a situation hanging out where someone says something and it just sounds like the more desirable thing to do and you follow it?
Some leader rises up in a perversity. Says, hey, let's go do this.
It was absolutely not right to do, but we went and did it. How many of us know that choices that are left unchecked today, just like Jenny and I, that without the Holy Spirit's vision, choices that are left unchecked can take us down a road that we never dreamed we could ever go?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Could you ever imagine yourself telling a bunch of people, hey, you know what? Right after church, let's go watch a porno. Could you ever see yourself doing that? Hey, right after church, let's go to a drag show. It's going to be awesome. Hey, after church, let's go grab a drink. You know, we'll just go hang out, get a good buzz going. And can you ever imagine yourself doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can. You know what? That's real honest. That's real honest. And so can I. Because I have been that person.
What the heck? You wonder why I became that person? Something happened in my Christianity. And my eyes shut. This is way serious stuff. Matthew 7:15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Come on now. They come like sheep. Who are the sheep?
We are. They look just like us. They talk just like us. They act just like us. They work the game. And we just give ourselves to them. And you know what's their intent? Their intent is to steal, kill, and destroy. You wonder why? Because they're rooted in the enemy. And you think, man, that would never be me. And I'm telling you what, it will be you if you leave things in your life left unchecked.
Yeah.
If there are things in the secret place that you are not dealing with, you will become the people you never dreamed you could ever become. And I'm so sick and tired of people like Ted Haggard, you know, where they left things unchecked. And then all of a sudden they get into a place of thousands and thousands of people that they're ministering to. And you know what the enemy does? He goes, I got authority in that man's life. No one knows it, but in this secret place, that boy's got a craving, a desire, a lust. And I'm going to grab a hold of that when he's in a place of position, a place of authority. And when I pull on that man and I bring that man down, guess how many people are going to fall? Thousands of people. Thousands of people. Now, we do not know our influence in the kingdom of God.
Right.
When we have little things left unchecked, you think it's okay now? I'm telling you what, you times it by 10. You look down the road 10 years from now and you go, my God, are we having adulterous affairs like crazy? We got kids popping out from so many different spouses. We got issues flaring up within us. How the heck does this happen to the kingdom of God? What the heck is going on? Where's the watchers who are standing up going,
Man, I see where that's going.
Yeah.
We got a bird. Get that bird saved. We got a frog. Kiss that bird and turn it into something. Or that frog. That is so cool. It's awesome.
Wow.
That's so like the Lord, so unconventional. That's the thing about being spirit-led. You just never know what's going to happen. Frogs show up and start going, preach it. Oh, my gosh. Either that was attack of the enemy. He was going, shut up. It's probably more the enemy because we just threw him outside. So. All right. Matthew 7:15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Here's the thing though, the tough thing about the days that we live in is that the Ananias and Sapphira doesn't always happen like that, does it? Sometimes what we don't see is that it takes time for some of this stuff to take root. We've seen a lot of great people come into these doors. Great people. Seem like they're fired up. And we've seen them walk out, and a year later, and you're going, what happened? This person was so passionate for the things of God. But we don't understand. It's just sometimes as leaders, you just get these checks, and you go, Lord, God, please don't let it be true. And we just start praying against that, trying to change the course of people's lives. But you know, we can't change you. You know, we all have decisions and choices to make. That's the most beautiful gift that God has given us. And He won't violate it. But it hurts like heck, doesn't it? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Interesting. Doesn't that make new sense now? It's just starting to look. I want to see. Why is that so important? Because the next part of this verse is so incredible. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Come on, man. These people were driving out demons. They were doing miracles. Right? How much of that stuff are we doing today? Challenge, is it not? No. Here's the challenge. Does He know us? It doesn't matter what you do for other people. What it matters is what you do for the Lord. Because when you start doing for the Lord what He's wanting you to do, He'll change your heart in doing things for other people. But the motivations is rooted correctly. We got churches that are built on miracles over here. We got churches that are built over there. And people just run to the gathering, run to the movement. I'm just going, my gosh, could we just stop for a moment and enjoy the presence of Jesus?
Yeah.
It breeds insecurity. Because now we're always looking for the next hype. Right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Jesus, here I am. It's what we've been doing this weekend. Devotions. It's a cool thing. You know, we like Pastor Joe said, you know, our band, pretty simple.
The pressure's on you to get into the presence of the Lord.
What you going to make of it? That's so beautiful.
Amen.
People, how do we stay tuned into the truth? How do we become watchers? How do we engage?
How do we keep our eyes on that which is eternal? How do we keep ourselves focused so that when tomorrow hits, that we don't just walk away from the retreat?
Man, I've heard so many people making stupid decisions the day they get home from retreat. You're going, what the heck happened?
Man, that's not what we're trying to build in this generation.
Right.
We want people who know Jesus.
Yes.
Because when you know Jesus,
and when the devil starts knocking on your door, you go, what you want with me? I'm already taken.
I'm not being cute.
We have a lot of pet names for Jesus, don't we? Oh, Jesus this, Jesus that. And all of a sudden in a secret place, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll choose that. I'm going, oh, wait. Jesus, come on now. Come on. It's in us to watch.
Yeah.
God has put it in us. Watch. Watch. Does it take discipline? It does. Sometimes it takes this.
Jesus.
Holy Jesus. God, help me see right. Help me see right. Be still and know that I'm God. Come on now. Jesus.
I don't want someone to take me. Just
Jesus. Come on. Lord. My gosh.
You got lust in your heart. It turns into adultery. How's that happen? Because He sees all the way through the choice. You got hate in your heart. It turns into murder. Why? Yeah, you have manifest murder right away. But He sees all the way through it. All the way through it. You got criticalness in your heart? Man, you better shut that baby down. Why? Because when you look through criticalness, you're a nasty critic. Right? We are capable of some of the most vile things. You want to know why? Because all of us are sinners.
Yeah.
We all understand what sin is. It's pretty nasty. But you know what? As the people of God, we're capable of being watchers on walls. We're capable of protecting things in the Spirit. You know, we're capable. We are capable, as Adam was speaking, we're capable of building the kingdom of God in a secret place. I believe the church is paved on the prayers of intercession. You want to see God do some amazing things, you start praying.
Yep.
But don't just pray like this. Oh, man, I'm so distracted. Jesus, just... Oh, man. I'm saying you need to get with some people who can see. And when you start seeing into the Spirit, you start going, Lord, tune us in. Oh, really? Man, you know what? We need in our body. We need the older start meddling with the younger. God, we want to see through this, because when that connection happens, we realize that down the road 5 years from now, it's a phenomenal church. So God, I want to start believing you for that. I want to start speaking into that. When there are issues in our older people, Lord, would you deal with that? When there are issues in our younger people, Lord, would you deal with that? But God, I want to build that church that I'm starting to look into. And the only way I can look into it is the Holy Spirit begins to enlighten my eyes. And I begin to speak out with my mouth what I begin to see. And we start building the church in the supernatural realm.
Yes.
But too many of us, what happens is we get overcome by sin. You know how hard it is to build when you got this ripping on your heart?
Yeah.
Oh, I start, man, Jesus, we need to start building the church. We want to start seeing the older and the younger connect. And, oh, dang, I got lust in my heart. I know I doubt, I got to unconfess. Shoot. It just shut me down.
Yeah.
I stopped building.
Yep.
We got a whole generation of people who are supposed to be building this secret place.
Right.
Who are just absolutely shut down.
Right.
It is the saddest thing in the world to see. When you see someone who's got so much potential in the Spirit, and every one of us do, and they start to forfeit that for a little more of the flesh.
Yes.
God is extremely gracious with all of us. I'm speaking to my life here too. He's extremely gracious with us. But what we don't know is when that hour is going to come. And that's why today we need to be ready. That's why today we need to be seen. Because we do not know when that's going to come. And what we are left to believe in the college bubble is that I can do it another time.
Yeah, right.
I've got time. You do not have time.
Right.
Because every decision you make for yourself, it has rippled down generation after generation after generation after generation. And the effects are right here in your children's children's children. And you don't see them. But oh God, you better start making decisions for them.
Yes.
I got to make decisions for Lydia. I got to make decisions for her kids. We're all doing it, aren't we?
Yeah. That's right.
We have to start looking through our children's life. The biggest thing that is attack on us is you live for you.
Right.
Don't think about the person coming after you. You live for you and you enjoy you. That's what we have been taught. That's what we've been spoon-fed from the day we came out of our mother's womb. Yeah. Society has attacked us. Let me tell you something. There is an enemy, an adversary, who is radically against you. And if he can get you to become ineffective, he can get you to get bitter, critical, whatever he can do, he can pull your eyes from building the spirit, and it just absolutely makes you sterile. But we are called to be watchers. Amen?
Amen.
I can't do it for you. We can inspire you into this place. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more exciting than when you're looking into supernatural and you're going, I see. Sometimes I get attacked. People will make comments to me because I might see something through their life. They're a little bit more abrasive with me going, oh, you're just being too strong. I'm going, I'm not being too strong, man. I'm not being too strong. Because when I look through this, it's filled with death and decay. And I don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that. So I'm going to speak as strong as I possibly can to you to try to wake you up and smack you upside with a spiritual smack, right? But even then, it has nothing to do with us. Oh, Jesus. So we need to be watchers. All right. Here's the reality.
I want to close up. There's some of you who know right now that there are secret compromises in your life.
There's some of you right now who know, who absolutely know, that you are not watching and you should be watching.
And there's just secret stuff that is going on. I'll tell you what, if that's you, just go ahead and stand up and come right here.